WIQ.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you, KC2? WIQ and 2EO.
Oh, I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm good, Michael. Everything is good here. Radio now is in the dining room. I'll be back in the other room in a couple of days. I'm having some construction in the house.
Okay. Well, how are you feeling?
Feeling okay, Michael. I have to get some surgery on my foot, but that's Wednesday, and I'll be in there for about a week. I'm good.
I'm sorry to hear that. Another one, you know, when would it ever end?
Oh, I'm not complaining. Everything will work out. It's surgery, but it's not major surgery. It'll be good. So how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm doing the best I can.
Doing how many films?
Yeah, I'm still in Amityville.
Door antenna or what?
I got my antenna mounted on the radiator. And it's doing pretty good. I have it on, I have it on 50 watts right now.
Hey, Michael, very, very good. Well, you're getting out. You're doing well. Not a problem. Listen, let me catch you later, okay? I just wanted to say hello. Heard a familiar voice. I wanted to say hello to you. KC2WIQ. And to you. See you later, Michael.
Okay, Rich. See you later, KC2WIQ. KC2WIQ. Kilo Charlie 2, Whiskey Yankee Queen. KC2WIQ.
Net tonight at 8. W2NDG Mobile.
Hey, Neil. Sound loud and clear. How's it going? This is Tim, KB1HQJ.
Tim, that's because I'm pretty close to the repeater.
Yeah, I was trying to catch you last night because I kept hearing you on the DMR repeater, but I was running around trying to get things done for today. Just to tell you that I have the item.
Oh, you do?
It's actually in the trunk of the old. I finished up at Ridgewood around 5, and I'm going to head out to Patchogue like a nut and help the girls pack up when that event ends.
Oh, how could I get the item? Or how could you get the item to me? Or how could I get to you to get the item?
Well, I think tonight's probably out, but weeknights, I take a train home. I usually get home around 6:30-ish if I catch the early train. And I'm going to be looking to get some things done after work this week because I don't have school. Wait a minute, when does my next class start? I guess it doesn't start till a week from Monday, so I still have some time. So yeah, this will be a good week. We're having a barbecue Saturday for my favorite stepdaughter. No, I shouldn't say that because I have two of them, that's right. My youngest stepdaughter. Anyway, I always forget that I have this many kids. It's kind of crazy. So I should be around each evening because I've got plenty to do at home.
Okay, very good. Tomorrow my wife and I are getting a truck. We're bringing some stuff to storage, so we're going to be very busy tomorrow. Not sure what the schedule looks like tomorrow. I'm eager to get it and take it off your hands. And as you can see by the other things I had the other night that the gentleman was giving away. So, maybe like either tomorrow night or Tuesday night, whatever works, you know. And you can always reach me by email, and I know I can get you too. So, I could also send you my phone number through the email, and you can just call me. But yeah, it's no pressing issue, but it'd be great to have it. Really, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's fine. If I remember tonight, I'll dig through my pile of manuals to see if it's still there. I may have the manual. There's no cables or anything with it, but it's, you know, it's just RCA cables. And like I said, the last time it was put away, it was working. I can't guarantee it still is. It's been out of use for quite a while. Like I said, I used it as a mix down when I was playing with Sony's Acid Music years ago. I was doing some of my composing. Anyway. Tuesday would probably be the best. I think that might be Jill's quilt night, in which case I'm usually doing stuff on my own anyway. So, yeah, send me your number, and we'll hook up that way, and I can reply to you with mine.
Yeah, it would just be a quick transfer anyway. Sounds like something clandestine, doesn't it? Just a quick transfer anyway. It's not anything you have to worry about, but... We have a water guy coming over here this week to put a new water meter in, and so we want to clear out a little storage cubby we have here, and we have some other items that kind of piled up when I got sick, so we got to get that stuff out of here, so we're going to be focused on that tomorrow and Tuesday. By Tuesday night should be cool. I'll come and meet you. How about that? I'll come and meet you.
That'll be fine. Like I said, as long as I make the early train, I'm in good shape. So, it's funny you should mention that. I mean, years ago, when I was when I was first starting out in college, I worked for a Montgomery Ward. And it was back when camcorders first started to get popular to the masses, and they had the shoulder pack cameras. And one of the guys I worked with at Ward's was really into it. And I used to just video things around the store while we were not working. and it was kind of slow. And the one day I came in, and they're like, "Oh, you gotta see Dean's latest video." And he puts it up, and it's just a picture of the department manager and the store manager kind of just leaning against the display, just watching something. And it just goes on like this for like 3-4 minutes with them just watching something. I don't know what it was. And then, like 3-4 minutes into it, one of them leans away from the wall, leans into the other one, and whispers something in his ear, and his hand kind of passes behind the other guy's back, and you hear Dean's voice, my friend, narrate, and it says, "Transaction takes place." And then the guy just walks away.
Yeah, that's funny, dude. That's the way people were with video when it first came out is a riot, you know? And, I can see that, and I can see you at Montgomery Ward, too. Oh, man. We're dating ourselves at this point.
W2NDG Mobile.
Yeah, we're selling TVs. Sylvania's, whatever the Ward's brand was at the time. And, Trinitron's. And we sold computers. We had, Commodore 64s, Atari 400XLs, 800XLs, and TI-99-4As.
I owned a couple of those.
Yeah, I had a couple of them, the ones you mentioned. But, yeah, those are the days.
Yep.
You had to link to someone else's computer in order to get on the internet, so to speak, before there was an internet.
Yeah, well, there really wasn't for us at that point. It was all bulletin boards. My brother and I, we were 7 years apart, but we were going to college at the same time. Paul had taken a leave of absence from our family business to go to school, and I was at SUNY New Paltz. So we were sharing an apartment in High Falls, New York. And we ran the bulletin board system for the Hudson Valley Commodore Club. We had a stack of 1541 drives, if you remember the Commodore. They had those 140 or 170K floppies, and you could daisy chain them through the serial port that they had for them. So, yeah, and a blazingly fast 1200 baud modem that we bought, and the club paid for the phone line.
Wow. Yeah, I remember getting my first 128, my first 64, and then a 128. Woo. And then it just seemed to go really fast after that. Computers seemed to get a little more sophisticated very quickly after that. A lot more sophisticated. Within a couple of years, it was like, wow, what happened here, you know?
Yeah, here's one. It wasn't that many years later. I was living in a different apartment. I had moved out on my own. My brother went his own way, and I was living in an apartment that the real estate people in Kingston used to refer to as the Green Street Asylum, because it was cheap, and I didn't want to move home. And I think I had a Commodore 128 at that point, but I was pretty much running it, you know, in 64 mode. And I was running a program called Quantum Link, or Q-Link, which was a dial-up service, one of the first that had a graphical interface, which was, you know, unheard of then. Everything else, CompuServe, Bix, Genie, you know, were all command line. They had a graphical interface. It had chat rooms, which was something entirely new. And then they had graphical versions of all the other stuff that were on the other text mode systems. And Quantum Link, remember that?
Oh yeah, and I may have gotten in the Hudson Valley link. I don't know. I may have gotten involved with that, but I know I was in MIT's business, as they say. I was all in their servers quite a bit because I lived right up there, and that was where all the hot stuff was happening. MIT and Harvard, actually.
Yeah, my first taste of the internet, I was about 30 years old. My marriage had come apart. My job was not doing well either because we had sold the family business, and I really didn't much care for working for a big company. and I was kind of heading in that direction. I was putting together computers in my parents' basement because I had moved in with them, and they were gone 6 months of the year or more anyway. And I was thinking of doing it, and I took a long weekend trip with a friend of mine up to Rochester to visit his brother-in-law, and he had internet because he was doing contract work for Eastman Kodak, I think, and they fixed him up, and it was, I think the browser that he was using was Spyglass. Yes, we're dating ourselves again. And he had a dial-up account, and I think I spent the entire weekend on that thing, just, thinking, this was made for me. I belong here. And then when I got home, I scraped together what money I had and bought myself an Ulsternet account subscription. So, fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those were the days. This is KP1HQJ for an ID.
It was all downhill from there. Trying to think some other trivia here. I can remember standing over a box. I think it probably came from CompuAd or one of those companies. Opening up a computer my friend had just ordered that had a 117 megabyte hard drive in it. And we were shaking our heads wondering how he was ever going to fill up 117 megs.
Then they came along with the 75 megahertz. Well, the 50 megahertz, then the 75.
W2NDG Mobile. Yeah, I was an Amiga guy. I resisted entering the PC world for quite a while. And my parents even, they had a Mac Classic. So the first PC I put together was built from parts from several different people who had donated the parts. And it was a 386 SX25 board. I think with 2 megs and then 4 megs of RAM and just like a straight VGA card. I mean, just very basic stuff and a 170 meg hard drive that my brother had given me. I managed to get something up and running with that. It was that computer or a slightly later version of it, maybe a DX40 board that I installed Linux on for the first time.
And then the Apple and Steve Jobs with his Next computers, right? Remember Next? That came later on. My buddy actually had some early Apples and then a Next computer. One of the only ones I ever saw other than at a computer show. He had the Next. And that was something. That was pretty high tech then.
Yeah, it was a little too much, it was like overkill. It was difficult to obtain something like that. And the operating system obviously became something, as we know. It finally went somewhere. Now, there are a lot of interesting things that came and went. If you remember Geos and GeoWorks, there is a remnant of that product that still exists. Some company owns it, they install it on older, low-spec PCs for, like, kiosks and stuff. But so much of this stuff is still around. But the Amiga was cool. Getting involved in that right around the time that, the Amiga's claim to fame was Babylon 5. That whole series, all the special effects were done with the Amiga video toaster system.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny that they call them toasters because they usually burn up. They get pretty hot. But, I met some guys that were from MIT before, years later, when I worked at a company in Rhode Island, and they were selling printers, like network printers. That was their thing. But they were highly involved in, I think it was either Pac-Man or Mario Brothers. One of those, yeah. I don't remember now, but I think it was Pac-Man, actually. They were MIT guys. Asian guys.
Letting things reset there. I was at a party in my college days. I was working for Radio Shack. part-time, and one of the guys who worked there had a party, lived in the Rhinebeck area, and he had some pretty high-level friends. There's a lot of people who settled into that part of the Hudson Valley. And I was sitting on the couch chatting with a guy, older guy, glasses, who was talking computers with me, mostly music and computers, telling me about a software package he had written, you know, for MIDI control and sequencing. And the more I talked to him, the more he seemed familiar to me. And finally, I was like, you know, I said, you know, introduced myself to him, and I said, you know, if you don't mind my asking, you know, you seem very familiar to me. I feel like I know you. And he goes, oh, he says, I'm Roger Powell. He said, you probably listened to my group several times, Utopia. I'm like, oh, I know who you are. Because I used to see Todd Rundgren running around Woodstock all the time, because that's where his studio was. And he came in and bought stuff from me in the various stores I worked at over the years. Roger Powell was the keyboard player and one of the composers. Interesting guy.
Oh, cool, yeah. You know, in the, a lot of the technology that we're talking about, the early computers, the technology was developed right along Route 128, and some of the components came from You Do It Electronics, and the companies were like, you know, like Digital and that. They were right along 128, Silicon Highway in Massachusetts, and I went up there long after the Renaissance. You know, it would have been in the 90s. I went up there and met with a guy who's trying to come up with something like an iTunes, but that was way before iTunes. No one had even thought of it yet, but it was basically a board that he was posting MP3s, and he was starting this company. And I had a Saab, and I went and picked this guy up at his company, which was basically him and a desk and big, beautiful office with not that many people in it. Basically him and his laptop. He had the most beautiful laptop I ever saw at the time. Anyway, we went out for Thai food, and he says, this reminds me of the opening chapter of Soul of a New Machine by Tracy Kidder. And I read it, and I said, wait a minute, it really does. It really does seem like that. And the guy's in a Saab, and he's going to pick up somebody at Digital, and the guy had his office in the old Digital building, KB1HQJ.
Oh, interesting. I'm trying. Lost my train of thought, Tim. Silicon Highway. Yeah, my family's business, when we computerized, we had a DEC Microvax, too. It comes from that part of the country. So, the dawn of computing. All those companies. Now, where are they now? It was, Compaq always amazed me, a company that made such incredibly awful home computers, made really, really good industrial-grade business computers. And I think they had the widest split between their two divisions of any of the companies. Just amazing. Always amazed how universally awful their home computers were for a long time.
Yeah, they all went through a phase like that. I think they were just milking the public, and I think the public figured it out after a while. HP, Shiba, they all did it. Yep. Even Sony had a string of real dogs. Now I make my own PCs, except the laptop. But the laptop PC I have, I sort of rebuilt it. It's sort of a bionic man. But it's doing good. And did you hear about the CS800s that I have? Did you read my email?
Saw that. It seems like there might be a firmware bug. The heat is another thing. I have a Motorola MaxTrack that gets like that. You can fry an egg on the thing. So, Tim, am I allowed to ask you a question about your former career?
Yeah, I guess so. I was a photographer in the city, and I can tell you more when I see you.
wondering if you know somebody that I know, that's all. Wondering where you were a photographer.
Oh, yeah, I probably do know them. If there was any of the big publications or anybody, yeah, if they've been published or had a byline, I most likely know them, yeah, absolutely. I was plugged in there.
W2NDG Mobile. All right, I'm going to throw a name at you. You would go by Robert or Bob Eng, ENG, Echo Nancy Golf.
That sounds very familiar. Yeah, he does sound familiar. Was he with the Times?
Boston Globe, I believe. Not positive on that. I grew up with him. Seventh grade on, up in Kingston.
Okay, yeah, that's why the name seemed familiar, yeah. I did some work in Massachusetts, and the first large publication where I was really recognized by an editor was the Boston Globe. And that was a long time ago. And so I got chummy with some of those guys, but I didn't really follow them around. I did most of my work in southeastern New England, and then central Mass and Cape Cod, and over 190 papers a day. I was with a large group, and they owned a bunch of papers, 190 papers. And I came to New York, and, well, it was one of the top two.
Dave, you said seventh grade on. He's an interesting guy. This is going to sound cliched, but his family, the two biggest Chinese restaurants in Kingston, his father and his uncle together. He had a neat house when he lived with his dad down towards the river with a horse farm. And they were really into horses, but really nice guy. So, yeah, a couple people, you know, that I grew up with have gone on to things like that. One of my friends is a comic book writer, wrote one of the more controversial storylines, and wrote a lot of the Silver Surfer comics for years. That's Ron Mars.
Oh, yeah, that name sounds familiar. Now, Robert Eng was with the Boston Herald. I'm looking him up here. Yeah, he was with the Boston Herald. And he was a spare photographer. He became staff in 1990. And, yeah, so that's why I know his name. He's also a member of an organization that I'm a member of. So there you go. Being a member of an organization when you're a photographer is quite a bit different than if you're a police officer or an iron worker. And this isn't about Robert. This is just about photographers or photographers in clubs. Photographers in clubs seem to care more about the contest than the legalities and the safety. But he's a good photographer, man. He's real good. He was a Herald guy until 2005. He was with them 18 years. So he would have been a photographer when I was in Boston.
Interesting. It is a small world. Yeah. It's funny, there's all these connections back home. Our friends who are also doing the flea market or the block fest out here in Patchogue today are two people that Jill grew up with. She went to high school with them. And the wife is directly related to somebody I know through my musician days in Kingston, the leader of one of the more popular party bands up there, and he makes custom guitars too. He's had a couple of companies over the year, makes some really interesting equipment. So with all these connections back up there, I tell people I'm from that area, and they're like, oh, I know somebody up there. There's a guy we just hired in my office, a contractor, who's doing project management for a huge project for the director of the research institute, and he's from Socrates. You know, knows my family's old company and everything, and a lot of the people who work for us. So, I think everybody gets drawn down this way.
We're like flies to the fire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it might be a problem with the CS-800, Neil. It might be a problem with the software. It has to be, because both radios are doing it, and they're both on different power supplies. One was in the car. I pulled that out. I didn't uninstall it. I just took that radio out, left the wires and the control phase and everything in there, and brought it in here and tried it. It was the same behavior. Now I've got a couple of power supplies here, and I tried it on one that's adjustable, and it was perfect. Put it right at 13.8. No problem with that. It ran great. Great reports. It was sounding good. And then the same behavior. The audio coming back within the radio was like... just like that, like a crunching. You could hear it, but it was crunching. It was very low, like it was coming from somewhere deep in the radio. It was definitely something wrong. I think it was the software or something. I don't know, but I don't like it. And I can tell you, I don't like the heat. Heat is not good. All radios have heat, but there's no fan on this. And if I keep one on my desk, it's going to be a little troublesome having that much heat on the desk. Trying to choose between east and west here. No, the winter, that might be nice if you put a little fan on it. Next, you might need to just, you know, do like a muffin fan on it somewhere, a little tiny cooling fan, something that puts out some power and isn't too noisy. I know most of my mobile rigs have fans on them. The one that gets the hottest is that Motorola, and that one doesn't have a fan. So, it does seem to make a difference. I think, you know, the reputation of being a company that stands behind their stuff, and hopefully it's just something simple. I remember when the first Woshun dual-band mobiles came out, and the, you know, crazy problems they had with them, but I don't think those were firmware upgradable, so, you know, if the person you bought it from wasn't going to take care of it, you were kind of out of luck. That was a mess. You know, Connect Systems has a pretty good reputation, so if there's some general problem, I'm sure they may already know about it, and they may already have a fix. Yeah, and I suspect that I'll probably call there, and he'll say, well, did you do a reset? And I'll say, no, it doesn't say in the book how to do a reset. Oh, well, just do this. Or, here, I'm going to send you something. Or, hey, why don't you try this? Push this, this, and this. Or go to this thing and just do this. You know, something very, very simple, and I'm going to feel like a dum-dum, and I'll put the radio back in the car and plug it in, and it'll be fine. Or I'll set it up at my desk. It'll be fine. I don't know. But I miss it. I like having it here at the house, you know. I like having it in here. Oh, well. We'll see. I got to call him tomorrow. Yeah. I got a bunch of old CDs. I mean, cassette tapes. I'm dying to hear. That's going to be interesting. Yeah, that's going to be fun. And what's the other thing I was going to tell you? Oh, yeah, today I went to the Eternal Con, which was being held at the Cradle of Aviation Museum. That was fun. That's like a mini Comic Con, but it was really cool. Eric Roberts was there. When I went up to talk to him, he told me I had to talk to his publicist first. The publicist says, well, what is it that you want, right? And I said, I just want to say hello to Eric Roberts. And he looks over at Eric Roberts, and he's like, hello. It was weird, because they were going to charge me money or something.
I love the people who get like that. had, we run this IT expo at Sloan Kettering, and we get a keynote speaker every year, and it's a lot of fun trying to deal with these people, because sometimes someone will contact one of the speakers or potential speakers directly, and they're like, oh yeah, I'd love to do that. In fact, you know, for, you know, something like Sloan Kettering, you know, you pay my way there, I'll do it for free, or, you know, we get all these promises, and then when you actually try to book them, it's a completely different story, and sometimes you find you have to get in touch with them directly again, which isn't always easy, so they can step around that portion of it. But there's a couple people we've tried to get over the years that kind of bailed when they actually realized that we were serious. I won't mention names. But this year, we got Robert Scobel, who's one of these bloggers, video bloggers, shows up on all these different tech blogs, and he has a really, really cool newsletter that comes out weekly. I like him a lot, so he's our keynote speaker this year. Cool.
Yeah, and Eric Roberts had a bunch of band-aids all over his, like, thick bandages, the surgical kind, on his face, under his eye, in the back of his neck, behind his ear. And I said, what happened to you? He said, skin cancer. And so my wife looks at me and she's like, oh no, not because he has skin cancer, but because she knows what's coming next. I pull out the kidney cancer card. And I says, oh, really? I says, wow, you know, is it gone? He said, yeah. I said, well, mine is too. He goes, what kind did you have? I said, kidney cancer. I was like, Trump. You know, cancer poker, cancer blackjack. I win.
Yeah. you know, I monitor a lot of what goes on at work. They have little newsletters come out. And some of the researchers I work with on the computer side will tell you what they're working on. And some of it's pretty cool. You know, making pretty incredible progress on fighting everything. So, I know there's one guy I deal with who is, he's looking at cancer at the molecular level. And the equipment this guy has is just unbelievable. In two rooms that are completely water jacketed for temperature control. Just crazy stuff. And I love it because a lot of the guys he hires, these interns that are working for him, are, you know, not only laser techs and, you know, have some electron scanning microscope experience, but they're also electronics nuts. So they're building a lot of the equipment that they're using from scratch. Pretty cool.
That's amazing. In fact, I know a couple of guys I've known through my life, friends. One was a roommate. Somebody else was just somebody I knew. I had met randomly. One is a genetics engineer and at the top of his field, and the other one is doing cancer research in Canada. He's from France. So I see these people. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm talking on my ham radio. But maybe we can save the world with a ham radio. Who knows? I don't know. But I got to get going, Neil. The missus is here. That's the classic old line my wife always says. Whenever somebody wants to get off the radio, they say, oh, I have a call, or my wife's here. But she really is here. We have to go to dinner. Here she is. Say hello.
Hello.
They can't hear you from there, but that's all right. Okay, Neil, so it was great talking to you. I got to say 73 to you. And I'll see you probably, what, Tuesday night, something like that. We'll get the thing. We'll do the transfer of the thing. And it'll be awesome. Very much appreciated. This is KB1 HQJ. And I'll be signing. I'll listen to your finals.
Hey, Tim. It's funny. Good timing, because I was just going to say, I'm just getting off the highway now, so need all my hands again, because this is a stick shift car. I heard her. I picked her up from wherever she was. So, I'll talk to you. Send me a number, and we'll work that out. Or someone will remind me what I had going on Tuesday night, and we'll pick another night. Something like that. But I will talk to you soon. W2NDG Mobile is clear. Have a good evening, Tim.
Good night to you, Neil. KB1HQJ, signing. KQRIW, WAQPJF in Bay Shore. Vic, you on frequency? KQRIW, KQRIW, WAQPJF. WAQPJF clear.
You're all noise. Could not read any of that. Sorry. I guess wait to get a little closer. W2NDG is listening.
Don't you think Berkeley should be worried about other instrumentation they have? have out there other than cell phones? Isn't that strange? Just a note.
Are you referring to their 150-foot dish, or what are you referring to, John? Go ahead.
Nick, some of the colliders, the accelerators, and the things that they work with, and they're worried about cell phones. Funny.
Yeah, I've been there, and I guess I didn't remember the fact that the linear accelerator is probably in Berkeley itself, or just outside of the town. Yep. But strong misunderstanding, and you're going to hear kind of a couple of funny statements that were made by people hearing the situation, and there's a lawsuit that has been started. Okay. A person signing into the TechNet would give us, as I said before, a call letter's name, and the word yes. A typical sign-in would sound like this, KC2RFN, Alan, and yes. So do we have any check-ins? Please give me your call letter's name right now, K2RIW listening.
Tuio, Rich, and yes, and Tuio.
VH Warrior War, Joe, yes.
So far we have Rich and Joe. Anyone else?
WS2N, Paul, with base net number 153, I think I'm up to.
Golf X-ray Mike, did you get me?
I got Paul, and then looks like there was a double. I heard Golf X-ray Mike. Give me your prefix and your name, sir. K2LAW.
WB2 Golf X-ray Mike, Rich, and yes.
Okay, so we've got Rich, Joe, and Rich in that order. One last call. Anyone else assigned to the TechNet? Give me your call letter and name right now. Okay, let's start off with Rich, M2EO. How are the, how are things going in Massapequa Park with your radio equipment? Go right ahead, Rich. N2EO, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Good evening, everybody. N2EO, Massapequa Park. Dick, everything is good here. Still moved out of that room until the construction is done. But I wanted to ask just about Moto Turbo and the Subsuit TMR. I've been learning something about it, listening to people. I really can't afford the Motorola. There's three on the market. One is called Hytera. What is it now? Hytera, Hytera, Connect System. I wonder which one of these will afford. And I know Tim gave me one. I can't. Trouble with one of them, I think it's Connect Systems. He had two radios, mobile radios, fail on him shortly after he got them. So, I don't know. Maybe they just got to work the bugs out. Would you like the Motorola? And the I was on Moto Turbo when Howie did HWW first started up. Probably the first one in the country. Had a very, very early number. I'm told to go to TMRJ.ART or AMF. I need to have some clarification on that to look up and see what.
Yeah, it looks like a fair number of people, and Rich is one of them. Those people are looking for further information about DMR. What is it? How do you get on board? From what Rich is beginning to see, it looks like buying the equipment is a little bit on the expensive side. I know that there was a list gathering by Limark that was going to make a group buy, and then the group buy somewhat decreased in volume because of the fact that each guy buying a DMR-like radio has his own favorite brand he would like to buy, and at first I think not everybody wants to buy the same brand, so therefore the simple group number has not turned out quite the way it was expected. And it looks like the radios themselves with this capability are a bit on the expensive side. There's a website you can go to which explains some of the characteristics. I don't know what, yet if there is a section of the LIMOC website that explains DMR. Anyone that wants to contribute their suggestions as to how to get around the relatively pricey radios, in other words, is there a way of downloading something that is a free source that can give you this capability with less expensive radios? Anyone with any information along these lines, please give me your call letters right now. K2LIW in the TechNet, asking about DMR.
Information, Dick.
But go right ahead, John.
DC2WGB. Dick, I would suggest that if Rich is interested in any information, you get in touch with Bernie and speak to Bernie. He is issuing all the documentation up to date that I know of, but he would be able to direct Richie whichever direction he'd like to go. That, I think, would be his best source. Back to you, Dick.
I thank you, John. I think we heard that last week also. It looks like our local expert on the subject is Bernie, K2 Yankee Oscar. And if Bernie signs in a little bit later on, we'll pick his brain on this particular subject. Anyone else want to contribute any other information about DMR before we go to the next questioner? Anybody else with any information at all about DMR, give me your call letters right now. K2LIW in the TechNet.
WS2N.
Go right ahead, Paul. Wonder if you've owned one of those radios, wonder if you've used that mode. What do you think of it? WS2N, our space expert. K2LIW, you got it, Paul.
No, I'm interested in it, but I called up Ham Radio Outlet. I wanted to figure out if they had any other radios, you know, ICOM or something. It's just apparently the Motorola, and they have nothing. They said they have, you know, I was calling up. I wanted a mobile rig, you know, 55 watts of